coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
Jesus gives himself as the bread of life, so that all we need can be filled by him and his gifts.
Dietary guidelines come and go, but Jesus is the true bread of life that will always provide what we truly need every day. Dr. Dan Pavela is our guest speaker today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you once again here in our 92nd season of broadcasting. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Pavela writes books and teaches theology at Concordia University in Mequon, Wisconsin. Now, with a message titled, The Bread of Our Lives, here is Dr. Pavela.
God's word for us today is John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Do you remember the food pyramid? It was that pyramid with three or four levels in it, showing us what we should be eating for a balanced diet. On the bottom level, being the first and biggest level, are the cereals, like bread. Then go up a level, a little smaller, fruits and vegetables. Go up one more level, are the proteins and dairy products. And finally, on the top, a very small piece, are the sugars and sweets. I understand that the food pyramid has been replaced in recent years with an image of a round plate, which gives much the same information. But today, let's use the idea of a pyramid with three levels. Each of those levels will be one aspect of the bread of life. Jesus gives himself as the bread of life, so that all we need, the entire pyramid, can be filled by him and his gifts. Let's start with the lowest level of our food pyramid. This is the natural place for our theme of the bread of life, as that broad, large first level contains the cereals and breads and rice and pasta. Think of a bread that is solid, not especially tall, but thick. I grew up on our Minnesota dairy farm, and my mother made a Finnish flatbread that was perfect for this. It was a circle about 10 inches in diameter, about an inch thick. And I mean thick. But Finnish flatbread is pretty rare. So let's think instead of an unsliced bagel, like the one I'm holding right now. A simple bagel. Don't toast it. Don't cover it with anything. Just let it be a whole bagel. Now take a first bite and know that you'll be chewing on this for a long, long time. A whole, thick, dense bagel is not fast food. It's food to last. It's food to end a fast. If you're hungry some morning, that bagel will carry you through to noon at least. Jesus as the bread of life is that solid foundation of our life, that enduring and filling meal. Listen again as Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. It's John 6, 35. What a meal. We're impressed if a bagel can keep us satisfied for a few hours in the morning. But Jesus promises that he is the meal able to sustain us forever. He's the foundation that endures. Jesus draws a comparison between his filling and the work of the manna that fed the people of Israel for the 40 years in the desert. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. John chapter 6, 48 to 50. When the people of Israel were in desperate need, isolated in the desert, God gave them a completely surprising bread. They didn't need to return to Egypt for food and become slaves again. God saw their need and fed them right there in the desert. Furthermore, he fed them, though they had not always trusted him. They could have been left to die, but God would not abandon them. Instead, daily the bread from heaven came to them and sustained the whole of Israel until they entered the promised land. Jesus as the bread of life is that daily bread for us also. As the bread of life, Jesus reaches every person, every situation. Let's go back to our example of the bagel. The bagel goes anywhere. If you have a long early morning drive, bagels are perfect. Think of it. The bagel doesn't need a stove or a toaster or a refrigerator, none of which you have in your car anyway, but the humble, simple, always ready bagel is perfect. Toss the bagels into the snack bag and don't worry. You can't really hurt a bagel. So open up that bag of bagels and say, here's breakfast. You should be good at least till noon. Now think of the bread of life that Jesus is and the life that Jesus provides. This is not a fragile meal, a meal that needs an elaborate setting or preparation. This bread of life is Jesus himself and his word that endured the opposition of his enemies and faced even the cross of the tomb. This bread of life is the satisfying news that God has come to us in Jesus as the God who dwells with us. Manna followed the people of Israel throughout their decades of wandering. They never outran its presence. No place was beyond manna's reach. And so also in our lives, wherever we travel, wherever we wake up, Jesus is present with us. No place is unknown to him. No setting is too dark or distant for his reach. He is the enduring meal that's set before everyone. Jesus made the contrast between ordinary bread and his meal this way. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. John chapter 6, verse 27. This is the food that satisfies our needs. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Matthew 5, 6. Jesus is that lasting filling for those who know they are empty of a true right standing with God. But Jesus assures them that by faith, they have his righteousness and his standing with God. With the gift of his righteousness, we have life with God. So let's return to our food pyramid. We've filled the first widest level with bread that's thick and lasting like a bagel. Let's go up to the middle level, which will actually take up more room vertically than the first. In the actual food pyramid, there are two levels here. First, fruits and vegetables, then above it, dairy and proteins like meat. But for our use, let's just simply have one large central level. For that, think of bread that swells and fills every space it can reach. It's bread made of yeast that begins so small and dense, but then, given time, the yeast builds it up far beyond what we expected. Think of homemade bread or bread from the deli or bakery, bread that's tall yet light, has a beautiful crust on the outside, yet it slices so beautifully. Here is bread that not only fills our hunger, but it lifts our spirits. Again, we can turn to the words of Jesus. He describes himself as the bread of life, the bread that has life in itself and lifts us upward. Jesus said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." John chapter 6, 39 to 40. Here is real rising, not limited like the rising of ordinary bread. Mix the dough with the yeast and let it rise. It's impressive, but we know that it can all be undone with one fist pushed into the dough. But the rising of Jesus was unstoppable, and it's still unstoppable today. Jesus was left in the tomb, and his enemies were sure that he was done, completely lifeless. But look, 3 days later, he's risen to a new life. Risen from the dead, he is beyond death's blows. It's true, he carries still the piercing scars on his hands and feet and side, but those open wounds have no power over him. His life is not a fragile breath that can be let out with a nail or spear. No, he is the bread of life, and his rising is absolutely sure. As he rose on Easter, he is still risen today. Of course, this wonderful quality of bread, the rising of the yeast, means that this bread also takes time. Other breads can be put into the oven in just minutes. You can mix up the ingredients for a box of blueberry muffins in the time it takes for the oven to warm up to 400 degrees. And once the batter's in the muffin tin, slide it in. 20 minutes later, you're done. But with bread made with yeast, be patient. That wonderful rising takes time. Jesus, as the bread of life, would remind us that his full work is patiently growing and expanding. In Luke 13, Jesus uses yeast as a picture of his kingdom at work. And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Luke chapter 13, 20 to 21. Jesus is at work now in the spreading and growth of his kingdom. That growth might appear hidden, at least to some, but his kingdom grows like the slow expansion of yeast within the bread. What was small is an hour later overflowing the bowl it was put in. It did this by itself, no help from us. So God's kingdom grows by his power. We can stand in awe as we hear of the church expanding both near us and on the other side of the world. So let's put this growing image of yeast bread as the middle of our pyramid. Jesus gives us a wonderful summary of this growing and uplifting work of himself as bread of life. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. John 6:44. This bread of life not only feeds us now, but it has the power of rising, a rising which will bring us to eternal life with the Father. So now we have the two lower and larger parts of the food pyramid filled in. The dense filling bread is on the bottom. The lighter lifting yeast bread is in the middle. What's left is that smallest triangle at the very top. In a conventional food pyramid, this was the small part reserved for fats and oils and sweets, with the warning that they need to be used sparingly. We can understand that, though we might want to expand that small triangle at times. This is not the staple of our diet as the lower layers are, but maybe there's still a place for this level. My mother's mother lived on a farm about 20 miles from our farm. Grandma and grandpa had 10 children. My mother is the 8th. And they raised them in a large 2-story wood farmhouse. As I was growing up, we would go visit grandma, grandpa having died before I was born. Walk into grandma's kitchen on the farm. Take a deep breath. You'll smell a bit wood smoke from the wood's burning stove. And the other smell was her cinnamon rolls fresh out of the oven. They were so good. White frosting on the top, still warm from the oven. They were the absolute best. And they were there, fresh, every time we walked in the door. And there were more cinnamon rolls for us to take home. We might not have had long talks with Grandma, but how could we? We were so busy eating her cinnamon rolls. But that's exactly what Grandma wanted. She lived to feed us. Is there an aspect of this joy, this generosity and love in the bread, which is the bread of life? Is it a high point in our knowing the Father and the Son? Can the bread of life, which is Jesus, welcome us and remind us of the larger family to which we belong? Well, the setting of John 6 begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000 who were without food at the end of the day. Jesus fed the crowds of 5,000 and later the 4,000 by multiplying simple bread and fish. He was not limited by the size of the crowd, their hunger, or the small meal with which he started, but he fed fully everyone who was there. So now also, Jesus is not limited to what he can do in feeding not a crowd, but the world. He's the bread of life that connects us with both the Father and also our larger body of all Christians. Jesus points us to this connection between himself and the Father and our being brought into relationship with the Father and the Son. Jesus said, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." John 6:57-58. When we think of the bread of life that gathers us together as a family of God, we naturally think of the Lord's Supper, where we have the true body and blood of Jesus, along with the bread and wine. Paul describes the supper in terms of that shared body and blood, bread and wine. When we eat the bread, we receive the body of Jesus. Also, the supper reminds us that we are one united body because of Jesus. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. What uniting power is in the bread and wine, the body and the blood of the supper? As we eat and drink, we receive the very body and blood of the Savior, and with that comes the blessings of the supper, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. Also with the supper, we find that we're not alone, but we're sharing this meal with the entire body of all believers. My grandmother's cinnamon rolls remind us that we're part of a very large family with some 30 cousins. But that's nothing compared to the family of all believers with whom we're joined. This one bread, this one supper, is shared throughout the world. What a life-giving meal, and what a family of faith that shares it. So some may see the Lord's Supper as just a small bit of bread and wine, but we know God is at work doing far more. Appearances can be deceiving. The bread of life feeds an enormous body of believers now, a number that's beyond our counting. So it's right to have this meal of his body and blood under the bread and wine at the top of our pyramid. Jesus brings us living bread, and by it, he feeds us for eternal life. And so our pyramid of the bread of life is complete. We can picture the richness of Jesus as the bread of life in so many ways, a pyramid or a circle or a plate or something else. But in the end, Jesus has come to feed the world with a righteousness for which we've been longing. He gives us a meal for today, but also a meal that will raise us up to eternal life. And this bread is not for us only, but he calls all the world to know him as the bread of life. He fed enormous crowds bread for a day, but now, as the bread of life, he feeds the world for eternal life. This is truly the bread of our lives. Amen. Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the bread of life, and that by your words and work you fed the world. You fill our hunger for a right relationship with you, and you unite us with all others who know you as the bread of life. Fill our lives with the richness of your bread of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org.
I am the bread of life.
Looking ahead to next week's program, Dr. Michael Ziegler returns with a message titled, Need to Know. Here's part of what you'll hear.
If you believe that you don't need a creator to understand yourself and your place in the world, then you rule out the possibility of knowing your creator, if you don't think you need one. Even if you mentally accept that there was a creator somewhere back years ago, but you don't really feel like you need a creator now on a daily basis because you're getting along just fine, then the result is the same, isn't it? If you don't need God, you won't know God.
Dr. Michael Ziegler, next week. Now, Dr. Pavela invites you to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.